been working over the last year through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking to his followers up on a hillside, and he's talking to them about what a follower of Jesus looks like. You'll notice that he is strongly contrasting that to the Pharisees. The Pharisees would say, here are the rules, do that and you're right with God. And Jesus is saying, no. The Pharisees, again, on this side would say, it wasn't all about Jesus, but it was about religiosity. And Jesus comes in on the hillside, and he's offering some revolutionary kind of teaching. It's turning the world upside down. He's saying, this is how I want you to live. I want you to live from the inside of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God, and let that affect everything that you're going to do. We pick up this morning in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7, going to verse 12. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks find, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. It's Father's Day, so I want to start this morning to tell you a little bit about my dad. My dad is a guy who would do almost anything for you. He knew the way to encourage you and to stimulate you, or predominantly me as a young person, to study. When I was younger, many of you know that are members here, that I had a hard time in elementary and high school. I didn't blossom to Bible college and seminary. And my dad knew that. And so when it came time for a big test, my dad knew how to get me to study. I had to study all day. There would be multiple tests through the day. But if I did well at the end of the night, somehow I always seemed to do well at the end of the night, I got tickets to Maple Leaf Gardens. And we got to sit in the Reds. And man, it was awesome. My dad was also the type of guy who would open his house and who young people just wanted to come to our house and hang out with my dad. He was kind and he was compassionate. He's the kind of guy, if you wanted something done in the church, you would ask him and he would do it. Later on in life, it was with politics. But he's just the kind of guy I always wanted to be like. It was interesting, as we were driving back from my parents yesterday, we did Father's Day there yesterday, got the comment, you know, you're a lot like your dad. Don't know if that was good or bad, but I was a lot like my dad. And you know what? I'm proud to say that I'm like my dad. I wish I could be a lot more like my dad. Now, I tell you that story because we come to a part of the passage where it's talking to us how to become more like God. And yet not all of us have had those experiences with a dad who is good and kind and compassionate and loving that we'd really want to emulate. But here, as you get to the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, you begin to learn again of a father who is loving, who is compassionate, who is slow to anger, who is abounding in steadfast love, who desires for you to prosper, who desires for you to become holy, who loves you more than you could ever ask or imagine. And so the question is how do we begin to become like this Father? It's the third time that we begin to get this topic in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's through prayer. Why does Jesus say that the best way for us to spend time with him and to get to know the Father is through prayer? Because have you ever noticed that when you and I are brought to prayer, it gets rid of our sufficiency and it makes us rely on Jesus? When you and I begin to pray, it gets rid of our dependency on our will, our ability, our power, and it makes us dependent upon his power, his goodness, his grace, his working. And now as you read the text, we hear the words ask, seek, and knock. But if you know anything about Greek, what he's actually saying is keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And so because Jesus gives a three-point sermon, you're getting a three-point sermon this morning. Begins this way. Ask and it will be given to you. I love how Brazilii says it. He says, that idea of asking isn't foreign to us, is it? I mean, almost from the time that we come out of the womb, we begin to ask a lot of questions. For those of you that did profession of faith this morning, you've been asking questions for what, 16, 17 years? I've been asking questions for almost 47. Some of you have been asking questions for 50, 60, 70, over 90 years, Howard. We've been asking a lot of questions. And yet, here are the questions some of us ask. Children will ask the question, can I have some ice cream? Can I go out and play? Will you play with me? I remember my favorite question, other than can I go outside and play hockey, is it's Friday night. We lived in Oshawa, and the Oshawa Center, at the lower level that's now a Chapters, was a Loblaws. And my family, we always, for some reason, went grocery shopping together. And we'd leave mom to get groceries, we'd walk through the food court, we'd walk up the escalator, and there on the left-hand side was a movie theater, and my favorite place to go of all time, there was an arcade. Dad, can I have a dollar? And so every Friday, I would get a dollar. Pac-Man would be the first game, then Pole Position, then Pitfall, and then either Centipede or Zaxxon. It's just what we did. If you're a teacher, you're looking forward to summer, because how often does the hand not go up? I got a question. I forget. Oh, can I go to the washroom? Can I have a drink? Or like parents will be asked the question, why? We'll give a great explanation. Why? Or maybe you remember the first time you got asked a question. Would you go on a date with me? Or would you go to the prom? And yet, I remember, and maybe you do, the most difficult question you'll ever have to ask in your life. And maybe, like me, you bundle it all up. Would you marry me? And you stick the ring not only in the wrong finger, but the wrong hand. Or we ask the question as we get a little bit older and we start to work. I remember the one time I went to my employer and I said, I need to quit. Why? It's just not working. Well, what would it take to get you to stay? Another question. Well, you know what? I really don't want to work the midnight shifts anymore. Or I'll do Friday, but not the weekends. I'd like to make at least $10 an hour. That's when minimum wage was $3.15. I would like, and I got it. We ask a lot of questions, don't we? And here, Jesus says, come and ask. Have you ever noticed that when you and I are called to a time of prayer, God is telling you something? He's saying to you and I this morning, he's saying to our young people who profess their faith, I want a relationship with you. I want you to know that my desire for you is to prosper. My desire is for you to be holy. My desire is for you to know of my goodness and my grace and my love, that you could become more like my Father God. But we begin to ask, don't we? What Jesus is saying to the followers on the Sermon on the Mount, he says to us this morning, are you willing this morning to just sit at the feet of Jesus? Not asking, but just sitting at the feet of Jesus and to listen to what God has to say? Are we willing to sit and spend time in our prayer lives? Maybe it's through direct prayer. Maybe it's sitting at the end of the dock. Maybe it's in that place where we spend time with God. And to listen to what he might have to say to us. To see how he wants to make us more like him. For his will to be done. Because God's desire is to give us good gifts. And to make us like him. Isn't it interesting that he's got to use an illustration to make this point? He says, who of you asks for bread gets a stone? Of course I'm not going to do that. God says, I love you. Who of you, when he asks for a fish, gets a snake? He's not talking about a live snake. He's talking about a snake that would have been prepared, that would have been cooked, that would have been passed over for a fish. He says, why would I do that? Because my desire is to fill your life with good gifts. But the good gifts that God wants to give us isn't always what we want or it is good for us. Just ask a few people who have made millions in their life, and a number of them will tell you that they'd give it all up to find meaning and fulfillment in life. Ask most millionaires who have won the lottery, and they'll tell you it's the worst thing that could have ever happened in their life. Not only are they worse off financially, but they've lost all of the relationships that they had had before that. But when he begins to start saying, keep on asking, what's he saying? He's saying, be diligent. Make your chief desire in all of your asking, in all of your life, that you would become righteous, that you would become holy, that you would become like Jesus' Father, who he is the perfect reflection of, that you and I might be able to live out of the goodness and out of the grace that God has poured into our lives. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. I don't know if you've ever lost anything, but I am notorious for losing my cell phone. And I only lose my cell phone at home. Now, at first, my kids were pretty smart. They'd say, just call it, Dad. And we would find it. But I got smarter in my old age, and I always have the volume turned off. And so we can't just call it. We can't wait for it to vibrate. We go looking, and we tear the house apart, and eventually, it's one of my kids that find my phone. Seeking something can be very frustrating. Jesus says, seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and it will be added to the story of your life. Amazing, isn't it? Seek God. Seek him with all that you are, and you will find it. You will experience God like you never have before. Let me give you a few examples from Scripture. From Psalm 34. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. From Jeremiah. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. From Hosea. Then I will go back to the place until they admit their guilt and they will seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. Seek the Lord and live. Amos 5. And then Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Ask, keep on asking, keep on seeking. When he says keep on seeking, it is the sifting process that Jesus is doing in our lives. He's saying, you really want to experience joy. You really want to be holy. You really want to become like me. You really want to experience forgiveness. You really want to experience my goodness and my love and my mercy. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on relentlessly pursuing it. And you will find it. You will find all that God has in store for your life if you keep on pursuing it. And then he says this, keep on knocking. Catch this, because it hit me for the first time as I was preparing this week. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, find. And to him who knocks, the door to the kingdom will be opened. I don't know if you've ever come up to a locked door before, but one of my favorite things to do is when a store opens at 10 o'clock and it's 10 o'clock, I start to pull on the door and I will rattle the door. I will try another door and I will try another door. And usually the guy will go, he goes, hold on a second. We open at 10 o'clock, but it's 10:05 and I'm ready to get in. Maybe you've had that at a church before. Or to your own car, when you can see the keys sitting on the seat. You see, when he says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, Jesus is saying to you and to me and to those who did profession of faith this morning, persevere. Don't give up. Pursuing God, it is worth it. Let me give you a few examples from Scripture. From Acts 14. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Acts 14. 1 Corinthians 16. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has been opened to me. And there are many who oppose me. 2 Corinthians 2. And when I went to Troas to preach the gospel and found Christ, of Christ, and found that the Lord had opened a door for me. And finally, from Colossians 4, verse 3. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that I may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am chained. See, people of God, what God wants for us this morning, what God wants for our young people, is to plead the throne room of heaven. And God can open a door. God can open a door to change a circumstance. He can mend a broken relationship. He can provide a need that we cannot provide for ourselves. But God wants you and I to sit at the feet of Jesus this morning. He wants us to sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen. Because catch this. When he's saying, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, you're hearing the gospel of grace. You're seeing the God who pursued us, the God who pursued Caleb and Hannah, or sorry, and Enelie and Laura. And as Enelie and Laura and Caleb heard that call, they responded. the same God who pursues you this morning, and he says, will you come and will you sit at the feet of Jesus? Because if you do, you will meet him. Caleb, Enelie, and Laura, today is just the beginning of your story. But I want you to hear this morning. You've probably heard it a million times. That God has a plan for your story. God's desire is to give you a hope and a future. God's desire is that you may know of his goodness, that you may know of his love, that you may know of his mercy, that you may become like Jesus. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to sit at the feet of Jesus in a world that wants us to always be on the go. That in a world where the desire to sit and be still isn't there, where we have to get that update on Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever it is you're on today. And to put it aside and to sit at the feet of Jesus. And it's going to be hard. It's going to require discipline and focus. But what I can tell you this is you will not be disappointed. Because as you spend more time with Jesus, as you become more like Jesus, you're going to have a new perspective on your future, on the situations that are before you, on what God's plans are and the opportunities for ministry and your gifts and your calling. And it's not just for you. It's for all of us. And so your profession of faith this morning is an encouragement for us to remember that it's all about Jesus and to sit at the feet of Jesus. And so for you and for all of us this morning, the challenge is this, is are we willing to take 5, 10, 15 minutes a day and simply sit at the feet of Jesus, not asking for anything other than this? Jesus, may make me more like you. And I can guarantee you that the more you become like Jesus, the more you become like Jesus, the more I become like Jesus, the more time we're going to want to sit, because being like Jesus is just so cool. And he's going to speak into your story. He's going to speak into all of our stories. And he's going to shape us and he's going to mold us. He's going to transform us. It's going to transform the community in which you live, the neighborhood in which you live. And God's going to do a great thing in us and through us. So will we take up that challenge this week? Is to sit at the feet of Jesus and not only ask, but to seek and to plead and to persist even when everything says, I don't have time for this. Simply to spend time with Jesus, and for one reason and one reason only, is to say, Lord, I want to become more like you. And for you as young people and for you as a congregation, I can guarantee you it'll be the best 15 minutes of your day. Amen. I got to take up my own challenge now. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we give you thanks that you are the one who relentlessly pursues us. And Lord, we thank you for Enelie and for Laura and for Caleb, and the step of faith that they made this morning. And Lord, we pray that they would continue to grow in that faith, that they would continue to be an encouragement to your church as they have been this morning. And that you would continue to build that love and that relationship within them. And that they may be used mightily even in this coming week for you and their schools. We thank you for the friends and for the parents and for the grandparents and the siblings that have fed into that story. And Lord, this morning as they celebrate with their loved ones, Lord, may their faith be encouraged. May they be able to say today, look what God has done. Look what God is doing. And continue that prayer to, Lord, we look forward to what you are going to do. Lord, we give you thanks for moments like today. We give you thanks for upcoming weddings for Scott and for Katie, Lord. And for that wedding, Lord, we pray that you would prepare them, Lord, as they make plans not only for a day, but for a lifetime together. We pray that not only in their preparations, but in their upcoming marriage, Lord, that you would shine through And you would speak through them and in them, not only in the preparations, Lord, but for every day of what will become their married life. Lord, we want to continue to pray for Brenda's brother, Greg, Lord, who's struggling with cancer, and it looks like it's progressing, and now new meds will be tried, Lord. We pray that his body would be receptive to it. We pray that you would push that cancer away from his body. We pray that his faith would continue to remain strong, and that you would continue to use him, Lord, to be a witness to those who he encounters, Lord, as he goes to doctor's appointments and treatments, that he would be able to tell the story of a God who loves him so unconditionally. Lord, we want to continue to remember Julie's dad. Lord, not only having mourned the loss of a mom, but Lord, now a father who's not doing well. Lord, as he is, as we read in the bulletin, is in palliative care, Lord, we pray that you would be near him and strengthen him. Refresh and encourage his faith. Support Julie and the family as they walk alongside of their dad during this time. May they have many wonderful moments, Lord, with their dad to continue to celebrate not only a life but a faith together. And Lord, we thank you for the fathers within our story that emulate what it truly means to be a father. Lord, for those whose fathers aren't the model father, we pray that you would give peace and comfort and strength in the festivities that happened today. But Lord, we also thank you not only for the fathers of blood, but the fathers who spiritually are walking within our story, who have had a profound influence and witness among us. And Lord, we give you thanks for the opportunity to hear that we are so loved by you that we each can insert our name here, that you want to meet us today. Thanks for such an incredible grace. In your name we pray. Amen.